Tonight, Miss Joan Blondell stars in So Big from Studio One at CBS.
Papa always says that the more kinds of people you see, and the more things you do, and the more things that happen to you, the richer you are. Even if they're not all pleasant things. That's living.
With a moment from So Big by Edna Ferber, we invite you to Studio One, a full hour of dramatic entertainment from radio's most celebrated playhouse. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Tonight we go back 50 years to bring to life Edna Ferber's magnificent chronicle of love and courage in Chicago's Midwest. Long recognized as an impressive portrait in the vast American canvas of Miss Ferber's writing, So Big, the story of Selina DeYoung and her son, was not only an instant bestseller in its day, but a Pulitzer Prize winner as well. And it still continues to add more enthusiastic readers to an immense total that now stands around 7 million. Tonight in our Studio One version for listening of So Big, we're happy to have with us one of Hollywood's most engagingly talented actresses, Miss Joan Blondell. You'll be hearing Miss Blondell as Selina DeYoung, with Everett Sloan as Piers DeYoung, her husband, and Grant Richards as Dirk, their son. Later in the story, you'll meet two young ladies romantically interested in Dirk. Gertrude Warner plays Paula, and Betty Raggi plays Dallas O'Mara. Please to begin.
So, nothing else. This little envelope only your papa leaves you. My specs ain't so clean. Date, September 14th, 1888. Just 6 weeks ago. For my little daughter, Selina Peake, in case anything should happen to me. He knew. So, your papa's legacy is cash, $497, and two blue-white diamonds. Not so good, Selina. Not so good for a girl who is a lady and got no family.
Mr. Hempel, Papa left me with so much more than I... Oh, Mr. Hempel, I can't begin to tell you what a wonderful father I... I'll get along.
I'm old-fashioned. I like to see a girl 19 get married already.
Oh, I couldn't. I don't know anybody.
So, I bet you I could find you somebody. A couple of steady young fellas I got in the business make you a good living. Someday, Selina, August Temple's going to have the biggest butcher shops in all Chicago. I'm still talking about me, so what's to do about you?
Well, I'd rather find some kind of work. I can teach, Mr. Hempel.
Teach them fancy manners you learned from that finishing school where I sent my Julie?
I know enough for a country school. Arithmetic, grammar, and geography. That's about all you need.
Yeah. I know where they are looking for a teacher, too. $30 a month they pay.
Really, where?
Outside Chicago, 10 miles south, out in High Prairie. Dutchmen live there.
Where must I apply?
Tomorrow I see that Dutchman Glass Pool in the Haymarket. I ask.
Oh, I'll be ever so grateful to you.
Teachers got to board in them Dutch farmhouses, you know. Summer you boil, winter you freeze. It's rough, Selina. Nothing like what a lady like you has been used to. Dutchman is clean people, but poor. They got a hard life on them pork farms.
Oh, I can get used to anything.
You would be living with different kind of people. Dutchman ain't got much to say. You would get lonesome for your own kind, Selina, and the good things you have been raised to.
Papa always said that the more kinds of people you see, the more things you do, and the more things that happen to you, the richer you are. Even if they're not all pleasant things. That's living.
She's waiting, Reverend.
All I see is young girl on the platform. Nobody else. You the new teacher?
Yes, I am. How do you do?
I am Reverend Decker, This is Pierce DeYoung. We are from High Prairie.
Sorry we came late.
Oh, I didn't mind waiting a bit. I had a lovely time looking at the country. All these cabbage fields were... Oh, cabbages are beautiful. Like jade and burgundy.
Cabbages is cabbages. You talk funny. You been teacher someplace before?
No, I haven't.
Be more young than we expected, yeah, Pierce?
Maybe not too young.
Oh, I'm sure I'll satisfy the school board.
She's little in size, I am thinking, Pierce.
Well, she's so big as Jakob Hogan, don't half my size, makes for good farmer, good as me. Reverend, I load her trunk on
back. Wait first yet a while, Pierce. With this teacher, I am not yet content.
Well, you saw my credentials from the finishing school. I've lived in lots of places, too. I traveled all over the United States with my father and met all kinds of people, and I've read. I've read a great many books.
Best part yet of learning is good discipline. She don't look strong enough for teacher's job here.
She's too pretty, maybe, for to be teacher, but she looks strong.
Better maybe you take the train going back to Chicago.
But I've got my contract. It's right here in my purse. A letter from your school board accepting me, signed by Mr. Claus Poole. Mr. DeYoung, would you read it to Reverend Decker?
Can't make out writing, miss. Printed lettering I can better figure out. I didn't go far in school.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Reverend Decker, you're not being fair, judging me by size and weight as if I were a cow.
Got some spunk. Might be this lady makes a good teacher yet. You go to the house of Claus Poole for the board, miss.
We see yet how long she stays. Pierce, you bring trunk and satchel. I drive the horse.
Oh, thank you, Mr. DeYoung.
You bring trunk and satchel, Pierce.
Sure.
You ride on trunk in back of wagon. Better there for unmarried men like you, Pierce DeYoung.
What? Who is it?
Near 6 o'clock. Class says for me to say time for teacher to get up.
Oh, I'm up this time, thank you.
This morning, teacher. Better for you to come down by stove in kitchen for to dress.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Poole. I'm getting used to the cold.
Let your water freeze up so you wash in kitchen.
It's 6 o'clock, teacher. Snow coming down. Ma says for you to dress by kitchen stove.
Why, Ralph Poole. You mean I mustn't ask your father?
Pa calls me dumbhead already, Miss Peach. You want now he should lick me.
But you want to attend school, Ralph.
High Prairie boys work farm from 9 years old. It is not different for Claus Poole's boys.
Boys can be better farmers with an education.
I do not want to be farmer.
What do you want to be? How old are you, Ralph?
Soon to be 15.
I've lived here at your house only a week, but... I never met a boy with so much imagination.
Teacher laughs for me.
Look at me, Ralph. I understand your hunger for beauty and knowledge of the world outside.
Pa laughs for me. Everybody laugh now. Ralph Poole is dumbhead.
They don't understand you.
Look, I show you what I make with wood for teacher.
Why, it's a little dog. Ralph, did you carve this?
Only today, miss.
It's wonderful. Who taught you?
I learned myself. Upstairs, Ma has clothes chest from Holland. 200 years old, maybe. Flowers, animals, letters, too, on the lid are cut. Made more pretty with color.
Oh, your talent, Ralph. Oh, let me help you. We'll read books together about artists.
That is not for Dutch farmer.
But some of the greatest artists were Dutch, like you. Rembrandt, Gauguin, Vermeer... Knowing about them will help us find what you're really trying to express.
I try.
You'll be teacher in school, not for reading books to my dumbhead boy, Ralph.
But, Mr. Poole...
Ralph sleeps by 8 o'clock. He milks cows 4 o'clock in the morning. Dumbhead get up tired every morning now.
Your son has unusual talent. It would be a sin to discourage him.
You bored here, teacher. That is all. Not to put more dumb things from books in Rolf's head.
With half a chance. Oh, please listen to me. Ralph needs a real education, much more than writing and arithmetic.
Ralph is farmer's son. He read no more with teacher by night. I catch him with books again, I give him good strapping.
Teacher.
Oh, Ralph. Ralph, I'm so sorry. I never dreamed your father'd be so bigoted. Tell me, did...
The strapping do not hurt. Teacher, reading books is no more.
We'll find a way.
No. If Pa buys me with books, he makes you to move away. So it's got to be no. I'd come to start fire in school.
Still. I don't like scheming, Rolf, as though we're doing something wrong. Your father's no right to stifle your talent. We'll go on reading, never mind about me.
Miss P, this morning Pierce DeYoung starts fire for teacher.
Oh, how nice to see you, Mr. DeYoung. And aren't you kind to build a fire for me?
Good morning, miss.
I haven't seen you since that first day when I arrived.
I look for you every day, walking to school.
Oh, do you really? I know which farmhouse is yours.
You like for to stay in High Prairie?
I'm beginning to like it very much.
I be not needed now. The fire is made.
Well, thank you, Ralph. You can build it tomorrow.
Things are good by your house, Rolf.
The same.
Goodbye, and thank you again.
Rolf cannot come every day. Men got farm work. You should learn how to make the fire good. With old stove, a damper can make smoke.
Would you show me how to get the windows open? That would help.
Oh, windows better close for winter.
Well, we've got to have some fresh air in here.
When you make fire to warm school, why then make cold with open window? Other teacher leave window closed. You better.
Now, sometimes, Mr. DeYoung, it's better to make a change. Don't you believe in improvement?
You like to stay here for to teach?
Of course.
Then you be like what people want. Better not change. I go now back to my farm, miss.
I have a letter from your friend, August Temple, in Chicago.
Yes?
He feels good that you are satisfied to teach in High Prairie.
It isn't only teaching, Reverend Decker. I'm learning a great deal, too.
It is now 6 weeks.
Is it that long? The time's gone so quickly.
Class full figures for you to board by another place.
I'm being asked to move out? Well, he hasn't said a word to me.
Glasspool is farmer. His father was farmer yet. His son Rolf will be farmer also.
Rolf knows best what he wants to be.
In High Prairie, it is for father to say what son is to be.
I'm sorry I had to teach the boys secretly. Reverend Decker, you of all people should be in favor of artists. Isn't art the spiritual side of man?
Glasspool says you give Rolf dumb ideas. You come to board by my house. I have no children for you to give dumb ideas. Miss Peake, I have complaint from Jakob Hugendink. He sees open window in the schoolhouse this afternoon.
It gets so stuffy, the children are drowsy, and I just can't get as much teaching done. I only open the windows for 5 minutes.
Children go to school to learn reading and writing and numbers, not to stand inside throwing the arms around with windows open. You want to make too many changes, Miss Peake. A good day to you, Widow Parlenberg.
Good day.
We see you at Adam Oom's hall tonight for the basket party.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't that Pierce DeYoung in the cutter?
Pierce DeYoung?
Mm-hmm.
He is lucky fellow. The Widow Parlenberg is rich like anything.
And fat like anything.
The Widow Perlenberg has good rich land, fine barns, fat stock. Pierce DeYoung is lucky fellow.
Is he? We can't blame a rich widow for picking a handsome fellow, can we?
Ladies, get your baskets here onto the platform. Auction starting. Baskets.
I've got a little box here if I can ever get through. Ooh, my...
Oh, who bumps?
Somebody put... Oh, it's you, Mr. DeYoung.
Teacher, too little for big crowd. Here, you stand up.
Oh, no, I don't have to stand on a chair.
One for you to see the box social. You are a little thing.
Oh, this is just wonderful. I can see everywhere now.
Ladies and gentlemen, look what basket we got now. Take a good look and make a big bid.
Big crowd for social.
It certainly is.
Ain't all high prairie people, some from low prairie and New Harlem even.
Widow Harlemberg's basket. I don't know what's in it. You don't know. Who's eaten the widow Harlemberg's chicken once? Don't have to know. Where's Piers de Jong? What am I bid?
50 cents.
It's an insult to the widow. Come on, Piers, I'm telling you a secret. I smell roast duck. We'll bid $1. $1? $1.
I bet the duck's as fat as the widow.
She is fatter.
You've got a sense of humor.
I bid $1.
Yeah. Where are you hiding, Piers de Jong? You can have the basket cheap. $1.25 buys it. $1.25. $1. $1 to Goris Van Buren.
Oh, he's got my box now.
Ladies and gents, here's a dainty little tidbit, a feast for the eye done up fancy. If there ain't much food, you can tie this red ribbon in the lady's hair and put the posy in your buttonhole, and there you are.
Oh, dear, this is awful. Let me down.
You get a city girl with this dainty box, gents. Miss Selina Peak, that's who. Teacher, Miss Selina Peak, put up this dainty box just big enough for two. If one ain't hungry. What am I being?
5 cents.
$1.
$1.
And 10.
5 bits.
$1.50.
Ralph, don't.
$2.
And 10.
That's it, gents. That's it. 2 and 10. 2 and 10. The big treats. The pretty young lady.
$3.
Three. 5.
Oh, stop, somebody.
6, 7, 8.
Oh, eight. Lovely jelly sandwiches.
9 whole dollars.
Oh, and let them have it. The cupcakes fell a little.
10.
10. Do I hear 11? Or 10 once? 10 twice. Gone for $10 to Pierre de Jong.
Hooray!
Oh, yes, I guess so. No box of food's worth $10. I found out how hard you farmers work to earn $10.
For the teacher, it is worth to me.
You could be eating breast of duck or roast goose. What made you do it?
I don't know. Always, you look so little to me.
That's a very foolish reason for throwing away $10.
I can't hardly write at all. Only to sign my name and like that. Figuring I wish I knew more.
I wish I could teach you how to read.
Farmers don't get time for reading.
Then let me teach you arithmetic.
Oh, I can figure some, but those fellas at the Haymarket in Chicago, they're too sharp for me. They do the numbers in the head like that so quick.
Oh, you know figures better than any of them. And reading and writing, too. Oh, please let me teach you.
When is there time for a farmer?
Evenings?
Well, sometimes I am too tired to learn.
We could take it slowly.
What would I give you for pay?
Oh, I wouldn't take any pay from you.
If I start the fires in the school and thaw the pump and bring in pail of water next month, February, and part of March even, I could start you the fires till spring. And I could come maybe 3 times a week evenings for lessons.
Oh, yes, please come as often as you can, Piers. I believe this has turned out to be the most exciting evening of my whole life.
Arrived at the field of Waterloo just as Wellington was receiving the last onslaught of Napoleon.
Yes. Don't you enjoy reading now?
Selina, it is better to stop now.
Stop?
I do not come again.
Why not? I was going to teach you fractions.
Soon it's spring. I must begin to make ready for the planting.
It seems a shame to stop when you're doing so well.
A farmer can do without fractions. Already it is 9 o'clock.
You must leave right away.
You are still different. Even how you dress is not like everybody. You do not belong with us, Selina.
Why not? Because I wasn't born in High Prairie?
No, you are different. Your hands are white. To hold them, they would be soft. Soft little white hands. But mine...
Yours are fine hands, Peters. They're strong. They've worked. They've real character. Yours are dependable hands. I'd never be afraid to rely on them.
You would not be afraid?
I believe in hands that show the experience of work.
Oh, but you are so...
Yes?
You are school teacher. Good night, Selina.
Good night, Peters.
Good evening.
Good evening, Peters. You didn't go to the Grange meeting.
No, I did not go.
Why not?
I got through work too late. We are fixing to plant tomato seeds in the hotbeds tomorrow.
I'm glad you've come. You've had no lesson in a whole week now. Now, let's see if you've forgotten your arithmetic. What's the square root of 576?
You want me to figure in my head?
What's the square root of 576? You know.
The square root of... Oh, Selina, I cannot put my mind to figure. On the farm, when I work, I cannot put my mind to the farm. I do not want to come here, and yet I cannot stay away from you. You are a lady teacher. I am Dutchman, farmer. We do not belong.
Why do you always say that?
You are too good, too fine for High Prairie.
I'm not better than you. I can fit myself for any kind of life. You'd only ask it of me, Piers.
In your heart, too?
I love you, Piers.
Selina, my little Lena.
From the very first day we met at the station, I knew this was where I wanted to stay for the rest of my life.
Piers de Jong, why do you have to marry with him?
I love him, Rolf.
Oh, to stay in High Prairie forever. You tell me how the people here smothered the spirit. They do it for me. They would do it for you, too. Piers de Jong is like them.
Not entirely. And besides loving Piers, I'm sure I can make him understand.
He'll make you old. Like Pa made Ma old. I know that Dutchman.
You're a Dutchman, too.
I hate the people here. Soon as I can, I'm going away.
I knew when you made up your mind you wouldn't be afraid.
Yes, I am afraid now. To leave you in High Prairie. Don't marry with a Dutchman. They will kill in you the feeling for beauty. Please, Selina, don't marry here.
Oh, Rolf, I'm terribly sorry you feel this way.
Selina. Get up, my little lazy bones. It is time to get up.
What? What time? Oh, Piers.
It is 4 o'clock. Soon the sun will rise. Our wedding day is over.
It will never, never be over.
All yesterday's work I've got to do and all today's besides.
You've a practical turn of mind, my darling.
Breakfast, my little Lena, breakfast. Get up. You are now a farmer's wife.
Well, why can't a farmer's wife learn about farming? You tell me what's wrong with West 16.
In the spring, it is wet. In the summer, packed hard before I can loosen it again.
Why not dig a ditch and drain it then?
Clayland. Drain and you have got yet hard clay soil.
You've got to use tile drainage and then put humus on.
Well, school teacher is now farmer. From where did you learn all this about farming?
From a book. I sent to Chicago for it.
A book yet? A vegetable farmer comes now out of a book.
Don't be so patronizing about books. There are a few new ideas about farming. You work the farm the way your father did.
So? What is good enough for my father is good enough for me.
No, it isn't, Piers. All this back-breaking work is making an old man of you. You drive yourself from 5 in the morning till 9 and 10 at night. You've no time to live. We've no time for each other. You're no better than a slave on your own farm.
Where is it different from other farmers? Ah, you feel lonesome. I know what makes my little Lena excitable. When the baby comes, then you will have company enough. Dirk, we name him for my father.
Dirk, my son.
Yeah, soon he will be big and strong, like all the young. I will make him a good farmer.
It must be what he wants, Piers. We'll let him choose.
All the youngs chose to be farmers. To work the land is born in him, Selina.
Let them rot! Better the stuff rots in the ground. The women in the young family have never worked in the fields, not even in Holland. Not my mother or my grandfather. Farm work is not for the women.
This is no harder than washing or ironing or scrubbing or cooking at a coal stove in August. Housework's the hardest work in the world. That's why men don't do it.
For you, even housework is too hard, little Lena. You are not big, strong.
I feel better being out of doors. It's so lovely in the sunshine. Dirk loves to play in the field. Oh, look at him.
Pulling beet tops. He's a farmer already.
Why, he's not three. How can he know what he's doing? How big is my baby? How big is my boy?
Toby!
Piers, why don't we put in asparagus this year?
Asparagus? And wait 3 years for a crop?
But then we'd have it. Listen, I have a little money. Let me use it. I've thought it all out, Piers, please. We'll underdrain the clay soil, fertilize heavily, as much as we can afford, and then for 2 years we'll plant potatoes there. We'll put in our asparagus plant the third spring, 1-year-old seedling.
Big talk, big talk. Who takes care of this plantation?
I'll keep it weeded, I promise. Dirk will help me. He'll be a big boy by that time.
Oh, you'll get too many ideas. Asparagus, peony bushes, painting the house white with green shutters. You do better to get the housework done.
I hate housework, Piers. Oh, get mad at me once. Get real mad trying to arrange, break things, beat me, sell the farm, run away.
Selina, what is that for dumb talk?
You get nothing out of life. Nothing but back-breaking work and rheumatism. What pleasure is there living this way? You work harder than the animals. Oh, Piers, if there's a chance to improve, why not use our imagination and try, at least try? Anything is better than being a slave to the dirt. Come in. Oh, Ralph, it's so good to see you.
I saw lights burning late. Is somebody sick?
Piers. He took the vegetables into the hay market. Slept out in the open. Cost 25 cents to spend the night in a bed. Rained heavily last night.
Rheumatism again?
I hope it's nothing more. Oh, he really tries his best, and I shouldn't blame him for not being able to change. Please sit down, Ralph. I haven't talked to anyone but so big for weeks now, it seems.
I'm leaving High Prairie tonight, Selina. I'm going to New York, then Paris. I'll see friends. I'll learn how to paint and use my hands to make beautiful things, not just dig potatoes.
Oh, you'll be doing it for me too, Ralph.
I'd be nothing without you. Without you teaching me all these years. You should be leaving too, Selina.
Being a farmer can bring a good life. Not for you, Ralph. You're an artist, but I've grown to love the land.
From resignation?
Oh, no, with hope. The hope that someday it'll give us a better life. It can.
I'll come back to see you once I've made something of myself.
Say, Ralph, I've put a few dollars away with you. Will you wait a minute?
Goodbye, my sweet. God bless you.
Here, Ralph. Oh, why didn't you wait?
Little Lena.
Yes, Piers. Oh, you're in such pain, my dear one. And the doctor's taking so long to come.
Oh. little.
Lena, come. Come to me.
I'm right here, Piers. Wouldn't you like me to open the window?
Doctor says no.
Oh, I'm sure it would help you breathe. Breathe more easily.
Lena, so little you are. There. There.
I'm holding your hand, Piers.
Hand is little, but not soft now. Grows hard from the work in the fields, too. Selina, you make mistake to marry Dutchman.
I have no regrets, Piers. Only love with you.
Life with you is good, but the lung fever...
You'll be well again soon.
My head starts to hurt, so I think... I see my little Lena is right. You know better as I. The boy is 10 years now. Send him to school, we must. Yes, we don't let him to be farmer. To change is better. Yes, the living here is too hard for you. Now I try to make it easier.
Terrible blow, Mrs. Dion. Losing your husband so early in life.
38. Piers was... 38 is young to die.
The land is poor here. Maybe I speak too soon, but Piers did not leave money, just farm and a team of horses. Now it is planting time. You should think to teach school again.
I could never leave this land now, Reverend Dacre. Too much of my heart is buried here.
Yeah, yeah. Ach, hot weather you lie brings. Is it talk you will drive the team to the Haymarket?
Yes. Dirk's going with me.
At the market there is card playing and drinking.
My vegetables are rotting in the ground, Reverend Dacre. So big and I must live.
Whole community thinks wrong for a widow to do this.
I'm alone now and I must provide for my son. I won't be stopped by the bigoted voice of this community.
Vegetables to the Haymarket, Mother?
I am, and then I'm going to call on an old friend.
Who?
His name's August Hempel. I haven't seen him in 15 years. He's a rich man now. I'm going to ask him for a loan so big.
Why?
To make work easier on the farm. I'm buying some machinery, and you're going to school.
Nobody else my age goes.
Papa agreed to it, finally. It's time we tried a few new things around here so big.
You always want to try something new. Men should go to the Haymarket, not you. I'm big enough to drive the team. I'm the man of the family now, Mother. And it's time you stop calling me so big. My name's Dirk DeYoung.
Oh, am I going to have to fight your father's spirit all over again and you so big? I mean Dirk DeYoung.
From Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you're hearing Joan Blondell starring in So Big, a version for listening by Addie Richton and Lynn Stone of the Edna Ferber novel. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Miss Joan Blondell stars in Fletcher Markle's production of So Big by Edna Ferber.
Mr. Hempel, for years I tried to interest Piers in specialty farming. There's a great future in asparagus.
So here's a check signed August Hembry. You fill in how much you need, Selina.
I haven't much collateral. The farm's mortgage.
Give me an IOU. So what's today? June 5th, 1901. Yeah. How much?
Well, if $500...
It ain't enough. We do it right. We got to send your young fella to high school, then college. We make it $1,200 and take your time to pay it back. Selina, keep your money. I don't need it, and Dirk's going to need cash in college, ain't he? Now, come with me. I just bought me one of them fancy gasoline buggies. Automobiles, they call them. Guaranteed to go 15 miles an hour without blowing us up.
This is my last payment, Mr. Hempel.
Yeah? Got to give you back the IOU? I write paid in full, $1,200, September 21st, 1912. Yeah, that's today. So, I ain't your banker no more.
And if you want to make a go of the banking business in the future, you better accept interest on money you loan.
Oh, it's between friends, ain't it? I bet you my stuck-up grandchildren would like to make me out a banker. It smells better than hogs. Well, what's going to be with your Dirk now he's 21?
He's going into Cornell University to study architecture.
Some more college? Selina, you aren't going to make an architect out of your boy on the asparagus.
Oh, yes, I will, with a sideline of hogs.
What? Hogs, is it? Now you are moving into my stockyard. I buy all your eggs.
It's easy to be a self-made woman with assistance from you, Mr. Hempel.
Oh, listen, we are a pair of fools, you and me. You giving your life over to your boy.
Who else have I?
It don't work out, Selina. You try to live somebody else's life and you get no thanks.
I only want to keep Dirk from repeating the mistakes his father made.
About mistakes, Selina. It's funny, you got to make your own. I've got a smart granddaughter, Paula, let me tell you. And I figure to handle her right. What's my thanks? No, Selina, you've got to make your own mistakes. Try to keep people from making theirs, and they only get mad at you.
Yes, it's time to see you, Granddad.
Paula, nobody learned you how to knock on a door.
Oh, don't raise those eyebrows at me, you old pirate.
Selina, this is my Julie's spoiled girl, Paula. This is my friend, Mrs. DeYoung.
Well, I'm glad.
Where's
the
check? Where's the check? Where's the check?
Go home, if that's all you want from me.
Oh, listen, you crusty old geezer. I love you more than money can buy, and you know it.
Well, I must get along.
No, wait a minute. Paula, What kind of lousy manners you got from your fancy schools? You talk French and you can't even say how do you do to a lady I got real respect for.
You want me to show off in French? Come on, allez-vous, madame.
I say bien, mademoiselle, allez-vous.
Oh. You understand French?
Sûrement, un peu.
That's telling you, smarty Alec.
I knew your mother, Paula. She was one of the prettiest girls at finishing school.
Oh, were you at school with mother?
Mm-hmm.
August Temple speaking. Sure, send him in. You got a caller, Selina.
That must be Dirk.
Don't run away. I'm going to buy you some lunch. What other use I got for my money?
You can give a heap to your loving granddaughter, Paula.
Oh, you think too much about money.
That's the way you brought me up, you beetle-browed old darling.
Hello, Mother. Well, how are you, Mr. Hempel?
Fine. Dirk, I want you should know the worst spendthrift in Chicago. My granddaughter, Paula.
Well, hello.
I believe we've met before.
Really? I don't think so.
Yes, we have.
Well, kids, you figure it out for yourselves. I'm eating lunch with Selina.
You must be mistaken, Dirk. I never forget good-looking men.
I met you at a campus house party last winter.
Oh, well, that... I'm bored by everything undergraduate.
I dated you, and you gave me the air.
Oh, really? Well, that was unpardonably rude. Will you forgive me?
Oh, it's not so important. Well, bye.
Wait a minute. Why did you take the trouble to remember me at all?
I don't know.
Will it square things if I let you give me the air next time? Who's doing the snubbing now, Mr. Dirk DeYoung? You might look pleased to see me.
How are you, Paula?
Well, I didn't crash the party.
Well, there's no party here.
Oh, don't be a Dutchman. Your mother invited me for the weekend. Granddad gave me orders to look at some hogs while I'm here. He claims they're supporting me.
Oh. Well, the red building's the barn, and beyond that are the pens.
Are you always so awfully hard to please?
Why have you come out here?
Oh, I just love farm life.
You don't know how to be sincere.
Oh, you're wrong. There's a real side to the spoiled brat. But I didn't know it was there till I met you, Dick.
You'd never fit into the kind of life I want, Pa.
I'll tell you why I keep coming out here, Mrs. DeYoung.
You're always welcome, you know.
No, I'm not. But I'll keep it up till your stubborn son admits he's fallen for me.
Paula, are you in love with Dirk?
He can be so maddening, I sometimes wonder.
Maybe if you found less fault with him, Paula, let him be what he is.
Struggling inch by inch to be a successful architect?
A man must express what's in him.
Dirk could be a real business success in just 1 year. Granddad can start him off right, and then when he's all set, a rich man can afford architecture as a hobby. And who knows? I might get interested enough to learn interior decorating.
You want Dirk to make money, not to be a success as a person. To be in love with a man is to accept him as he is. You can't make a blueprint for the rest of Dirk's life any more than I could his father's.
Well, if I can't, I'll just forget Mr. Dirk DeYoung.
Well, it's a little late to say that, Paula. I know my son. Dirk is very much in love with me.
Dirk?
Oh, hello, Newton.
May I help you?
Dig potatoes? Who's kidding who?
Well, I could pick them up from the ground.
You might get your hands dirty.
Oh, maybe that's what my hands need.
Paula, you... Paula, I...
Yes, darling?
I have no right to ask you. I have nothing to offer now. When I finish at Cornell...
That's 2 whole years away, dear.
Wait for me?
I don't know how to wait. I've never had to.
You love me?
Enough to marry you right now.
Well, but I can't be an architect without
getting... What's wrong with trying business first? What's wrong with making money?
Nothing. I just don't seem to want a lot of it.
You want me?
Oh, so much, I...
Then marry me right away.
It would change all my plans.
In 2 years, I'm liable to change.
Next week, I start at Cornell.
Shouldn't I come see my son graduate with honors?
Right in the middle of spring planting, Mother?
Dirk, you smoke a pipe. You didn't write me.
Big news to write, huh?
You don't regret these 2 years, so big.
Wouldn't trade them for...
For Paula?
The sooner I forget her, the better. Well, your son is now a struggling young architect, Mrs. DeYoung.
Mother, I've got a job. Hollison Sprague, $25 a week.
Not so bad for a fellow who's been out of college 3 months.
It's wonderful, Dirk, but are you sure you want to stay in Chicago?
That's the whole idea, ma'am. To be near you. Happy birthday, Mother.
Whose birthday, dear?
Your son's 1 year old today at Hollison Sprague. The big boss said... Good morning, DeYoung. The first time he called me by name. I got a $10 a month raise, and I've been promoted to consider the problem of the broom closet.
Dirk.
I'm on my own now. Got to plan broom closet space for 2 new apartment houses going up on Lakeshore Drive.
Dirk, Paula phoned today.
Paula who? I don't remember anybody by that name.
Ten. 11. Midnight. Oh, so tired. Dirk?
Hello. You didn't have to bother to wait up, Mother.
Hungry?
No, just tired.
Oh, it's too hard on you, Dirk, living out here, commuting every day. You can afford a flat in Chicago now.
Life's lonely enough for you with me getting home at midnight.
You could come home here for weekends.
Well, we don't have to decide that tonight. I saw Paula today.
How is she?
Well, I didn't talk to her. I just saw her. She looks the same, more beautiful, and I... About taking the flat, Mother. The talk you get these days, America's sure to get into the war. It's our chance to make the world safe for democracy.
Lady calling to see you, Mr. DeYoung.
After office hours?
She's some classy kiddo.
Yeah, find out who it is. No, I better say I'm busy.
Hello, Dirk.
Oh. How are you, Paula?
Miserable. Hope you're the same.
You're looking well.
Why'd you snub me yesterday?
I was quite sure you wouldn't remember me.
Dirk, I've phoned you and written you. How low do you expect me to crawl?
Who is the man? You look too old to be your father.
Theodore Stone. He happens to own the controlling interest of Hollis and Sprague and I don't know how many other companies.
I'm glad to see you looking so happy about it.
Oh, I was a fool ever to... You think I can't stay away from you.
It's a nice idea to meet every couple of years. Might find things to remember.
Oh, Dirk, I've been half crazy.
Still, it's fun to watch Theodore Storm tip waiters with $50 bills.
Oh, why do you think I'm here? I don't want to give in. I tried to fight it, but... seeing you... Oh, you win, Dirk. I can't stop loving you.
But I've 17 years ahead as a struggling architect.
I don't care.
If America gets into the war, I'll be drafted. That'd make the struggle even longer. Yeah, you better think over this impulse.
I don't want to. Kiss me, dear.
Mother, I've put off telling you. Paula understands the way I feel.
You're drafted.
No, I'm going to enlist. I want to get into officer's training school.
Of course. That would be the best way.
I've asked Paula to marry me before I go over. I thought we might make this weekend, well, you know, have a few friends out and announce it.
Make it your engagement party.
Sure. Isn't that the way it's done?
Oh, so big. Where have the years gone? You were born in this room and... And now,
No. You're just being my mother. Hello?
Dirk?
Where are you, sweetheart? I guess old mother.
Oh, darling, try to understand. I've never lied to you. I've got to do the best thing for both of us.
What's up?
The spoiled brat's won out.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't have me dependent on my family for money.
What's the matter with you?
Don't interrupt just a second. I've got to hurt you terribly, darling, because part of me loves you so terribly. It would never be right. I always knew it, so I've done this as much for you as for myself.
Done what?
I married Theodore Storm this afternoon.
This is my last leave, Mother.
You're going overseas.
Well, no sense being an officer if I don't get to see some action.
Of course not. If you were ever in Paris, look at my Rolf Poole, and give him my love.
Sure I will. Try not being lonely, Mother.
Take good care of this hut so big.
Remember, darling, I'm coming back.
Pray for our sons who are in our hearts each day as they engage in battle so many miles from our home soil. In the last casualty list, we read a name beloved to us all. Lieutenant Dirk DeYoung, wounded in action and promoted for special bravery to the rank of captain. May God watch over him and bring comfort to his mother here with us now, who prays to see her son spared.
Oh, yes, Reverend Decker. The cablegram has come. Dirk's been discharged from the hospital. Thank you again, God.
Ship's cablegram for Mrs. Selina DeYoung.
Yes, speaking.
December 5th, 1918. Docking New York, Christmas Day. Feel swell. Love, Dirk.
Mother.
You're home again.
Well, this is home, Mother. With you, just the same.
Oh, I'm so thankful to have you back. Why, Dirk! Dirk DeYoung. In a captain's uniform, no less. Dirk, hello. Happy New Year.
Hello, Paula.
Well, ribbons and medals. Boy, you're a great big war hero. Have I changed? Do I look any older? You're as young and attractive as ever.
I wouldn't expect a girl with a heart like yours to change very much, Paula.
Really? How's your mother?
Still the most wonderful woman I know.
And you're still mother's little boy. Ouch. Hurt me.
You're lucky I don't take a sock at you for the rotten weight. Oh, forget it.
I can't. Fact is, I couldn't forget you. I pulled strings while you were away. I made sure you were kept safely behind the front lines.
What do you mean?
Well, they needed officers to run the war. My husband was in the war, too, you know.
Yes, Brigadier General Theodore Storm. I served under him. Made things very cozy.
That's why you didn't get near the shooting. See?
Well, that's where you're all wet. See? I didn't get this ribbon for sitting in a chair. Thank you very much for meddling in my life. And I hope I never see you again.
Dirk, wait. I've so much to tell you.
We don't even talk the same language.
Are you going back to Hollis and Sprague? They'll raise you to $50 a week. Go on, be a chump all your life, you Dutchman, you plodding Dutchman.
That's all I am, Paula. A Dutchman.
No. You're a great deal more. You're the man I love.
Mrs. DeYoung?
Yes, who is it?
Can I give you a lift someplace?
So big. Why didn't you let me know you were coming up to the phone?
Oh, I can only stay long enough to kiss you, Mother.
You've got a new car.
Well, what do you know? So I have.
A brand new one. What? It's a Sportster.
New 1924 model. Rides like a dream. Come on, lady, get in. Let me show you.
Oh, goodness. Upholstered real leather. Dirk put me down. I've been spreading humus on the flower bed, and I'm all dirty.
I'm old enough to order my mother around. In you go.
Dirk, is this car paid for?
You bet it's paid for. With the cash I made off just one bond sale. Just one. I've had to work 2 years at Hollis and Sprague to make that kind of dough.
You really like it, then, working for Theodore Storm?
I don't work for him. He's one of the directors on the board.
You know, you're so busy lately, we seldom have a chance to talk. Dirk, when will you have enough money to go back to architecture?
Why worry about that now? My idea is to rake in the dough while it's lying around.
Be honest with me. Are you going back or not?
I've had enough struggling. I'm no kid anymore. A man needs money to live.
You're working then just for money.
Everybody does. You too?
My farm gives me real pleasure. You know what I mean, so big. How can you sell yourself so cheap?
May I remind you, Mother, that you sold yourself cheaply once? You were a lady of breeding when you married a Dutchman farmer.
Is that why you're ashamed of me lately? So I don't see you anymore?
I'm making an honest living, and I deserve your respect for that, at least.
I must have failed you somewhere else. Or what Paula thinks is important.
Paula's got nothing to do with this.
Haven't you been seeing her?
Well, why shouldn't we be friends? I've known her since... Well, we're old friends.
You owe me no explanation. It's your fault.
If you love me, why don't you get a divorce?
Because Theodore is so enterprising and possessive, he'd see to it the scandal would ruin us both.
He's not that big a power in Chicago.
I'm getting fed up with all this furtive behind-the-scenes snatching of an hour here and there.
Getting tired of me, dear?
I want my own wife and kids. I have a right to the kind of life a normal man wants.
Oh, this domestic stuff is highly overrated, my darling. Take it from one who knows. Believe me, if we'd got married, we wouldn't be in love today. I know why you're so restless.
You need a change.
Change to what?
I heard today that May LaSalle is spending her year of mourning in Europe.
Her husband left Heath's big pile of money.
Mm-hmm.
A young widow needs sound advice from a young and sympathetic man on how to make her investments, don't you think?
I don't have to think. You do it all for me.
Brains run in my family.
I've got a few, if you'd give me a chance to use them.
Ahead. Stop the clocks while the handsome Dirk thinks.
All right. I'm slower than you. So what?
So nothing. You're a 50% plodding
Dutchman that I lost. Look, I've more leisure to think, that's all. Chicago's full of rich little orphans and widows, all sizes, shapes, and ages. And they're fur-lined with greenbacks.
Going to women. Well, that's a brand new angle.
Women, the new frontier.
Oh, I'd give anything to be in Europe while you're there.
Europe?
Yes, you might accidentally run into Mrs. LaSalle on the Aquitaine. An ocean voyage can be so dull. And you listen so well, my darling.
Oh, it's you, Paula.
How are you, Mrs. Dion?
I'm well, thank you. It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Yes. You've put in so many improvements. I must compliment your taste. The house has a quaint, charming flavor.
Thank you.
I just saw Dirk off on the Century. This time it's Europe. Europe.
Why, I hadn't heard.
Well, there wasn't a minute to call and say goodbye.
Oh. He had 2 days to get ready. But I promised to drive out to tell you personally what happened.
Where is he going?
Paris and London for 3 weeks. It's a business trip.
He's well.
Never looked better in his life.
He's been too busy to come out.
Oh, well, that's because he's going into business for himself.
Dirk DeYoung will be a big name in the financial world one day.
Well, I suppose that's a step ahead. Hello?
Is my mother there?
Dirk, when did you get home?
Day before yesterday.
Oh, darling. Did you enjoy Europe?
It was first rate. Wish I could have stayed a couple of years. Paris is quite a place. The architecture... I can't tell you about it now. Somebody's waiting for me. When can I come out to
see you? Ralph. Did he remember you?
Who?
Ralph Poole. He's an important artist now.
No, I didn't see him. Oh. Sorry, though, but the trip was strictly business. I'll tell you all about it when I come out this weekend. No, not this one. The next, for sure. Keep it open for me, darling.
Tell you how sorry he is.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, hey, Mary, all about the working scandal. Hey, the teapot, don't scandal, get your paper. Hey, read all about it.
You, but aren't you Mrs. DeYoung?
Yes, I am.
I'm Mr. DeYoung's secretary.
Oh, I'm glad to know you.
Don't you want to come into the bank?
What do you think? You think I'm foolish, but it's just that I haven't seen Dirk in such a long time. I had to be in Chicago today on business, so I thought, and instead of taking up his time, he's so rushed, I thought to think for just a minute.
You don't want to stand waiting out here.
But, I think that's Mr. DeCar's, Brown's car now. You'll excuse me.
It's a date, John, at the Loan Club on Friday. So long. Mother.
Dirk. Hello, Dirk.
I didn't know you'd be in the city today.
Oh, dear. Goodness. You look wonderful.
And how do you manage to look tanned and healthy being in the office so much?
Tell you a secret. Most of my business is done outside the office.
Well, why bother about an office?
Sometimes I wonder. Oh, gee, it's good to see you. I said that before, but I have missed you.
Well, I'm satisfied now that I've seen you. I'm going to visit old Arthur Temple. He's not been too well.
Well, Paul isn't. Mother, how long have you had that hat?
I just...
Well, hats aren't like wine, you know. The older they get, the better they are. I learned a few things about hats when I was in Paris. Come on, I'm going to buy you one.
No. Too young looking.
Your head really makes you look your age.
But this is charmant, madame. Simple, but... Now, it looks as good off as it does on. It's such lovely velvet.
Mademoiselle, charge it to me, please. Mm-hmm. The Young Great Lakes Bank and Trust Company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Dirk, aren't you going to ask how much it is?
Come on, Mother. We've got to buy a dress to go with a hat and shoes to go with the dress and a smart bag and gloves to go with everything. And, hey, I'm going to buy you a fur coat, too.
Oh, Dirk, what about your appointment?
Let him wait. This is fun. It's the best time I've had in years.
Swimming. I never had such a day.
It's not over yet. I'm going to take you to dinner.
Aren't you sure? Are you sure we're not taking too much time?
I owe you a lot of time, Mother.
You owe me nothing. Dick, I like your office. It's in such good taste.
The Dutchman and me combined with your simplicity. I can't stand this stuff that's so fashionable now. Mother, I could see more of you if you lived in Chicago. Why not let me get you an apartment? We'd be together.
The farm is where I belong.
But I want to see you take things easier now, dear.
You know, when a person begins to get old, Dirk, and he's no longer useful.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Say, how does this ad strike you?
Dirk, just look at this book.
Huh? Oh, that's something I picked up in Paris.
An architect.
A new fellow calls himself Le Corbusier, has he? Got some darn interesting ideas on modern building.
Are you reading it?
Well, I keep it around. Looks impressive. Mother, what do you think of this poster?
You've a bookmark. You are reading it. You haven't forgotten about architecture.
No, not altogether. What makes you so nervous, Paula?
I called you a dozen times last evening. Where were you?
I drove my mother back to the farm and spent the night.
You forgot we had a theater date.
Sorry, I did forget.
Are we lunching together, sir?
Well, gee, I'm afraid not. I have an appointment with an artist. He's coming to discuss the new poster.
Who?
Dallas O'Mara. He's the best commercial artist in Chicago, but a mighty independent cuss. I've had a time setting up this appointment.
How long do you think you can fool me, darling?
What do you mean?
Dallas O'Mara is a woman.
Really? How should I know for that name?
You know when you see her. She's young and attractive. And if you go up anything but business, Taylor won't mind.
You're half an hour late, Miss O'Mara.
I'm sorry I kept you waiting. I sneaked to see a new exhibit at the gallery here by an artist I admire tremendously.
Oh, I see. Well,
Yes?
Did you bring in any ideas on the poster?
Oh, wouldn't you rather have me carry out your idea?
Well, I'll tell you the sort of thing. This new campaign idea is sort of daring, selling bonds and investments to women. I want something that will inspire trust. Nothing flashy. Well, you don't do that kind of work, of course.
I've had my flashy moments.
Well, I want something individual. I guess you'd give us that all right. You put it into all your work. I looked you up. I mean, what drawing I've seen of yours I've liked. Non-commercial stuff included.
Thanks kindly. Give me good over your poster for a few days while I'm working on something else. That's when I usually get my ideas.
I'd like to see... Well, that is, I'd like to have a look at what you plan before you start. If it's all right with you, I'd be glad to come to your studio whenever you say.
All right.
What fee do you expect?
The usual, $1,500.
Oh, you can't pay that kind of money.
Well, that's my price.
Goodbye, Mr. DeYoung.
Oh, hold on. I suppose all you top notches get crazy prices for your work.
Not any crazier than you top notches get.
$1,500 is a lot of money.
I agree. Not so many years ago, by working hard, I used to earn as much as a dollar a day.
Well, you're a success today.
Heavens, no, I'm only starting.
Who gets more money for a drawing?
In another minute, Mr. DeYoung, I'll be telling you the story of my life.
Oh, I wish you would. May I stop at your studio tomorrow? Dallas, do you work with a mob like this around you all the time?
Oh, I like friends around while I'm slaving.
If I ask you to dinner, do they come along, too?
Why not? Well, the young is undoubtedly the most successful man in the house.
I'd give anything to see you alone.
We'll make it soon.
Tonight?
Can't.
Tomorrow night?
Perhaps. I'll see you tomorrow.
Is there anyone special? Oh, are you engaged or anything like that?
No, nothing quite that definite.
The oysters are safe here. And may I suggest best of giving him in the glass with artichoke?
Me, I'd like a steak. Some potatoes au gratin, salad with Russian dressing, and a big cup of black coffee.
Hooray! I mean, hooray. The makers are through with it. Well, it can't be the altitude. They're on the ground floor. Must be I'm falling in love with you, Dallas.
No, there's a side to you that's supposedly sweet. But I'll be honest, I see another side. And somehow the two don't seem to go together.
What's wrong with me?
You remind me of a man who's got on the wrong train, Dick. You're quite lost sometimes.
Why can't I get anywhere with you, Dallas? We could make a go of it. I'm interested in art.
Please, you did promise.
Well, what's the matter with me? What don't you like about it?
Dirk, I have an art class tonight.
May I come along?
Sure enough.
I'm an architect. I mean, I was once. That's why I get a kick out of hanging around your studio. Makes me homesick for pencils or a drawing board.
Why'd you give it up?
Nothing in it.
Huh?
No money.
Oh.
Well, right after the war, nobody was building.
1926, plenty of building today.
Well, I suppose if I'd hung on, I'd have gone beyond broom closets.
I'd rather plan the broom closet of one building. I'd rather do that than sell all the bonds for me to float a battleship, if that's what boat bonds.
Yes, I felt that way once. But my mother gave me an education. She worked hard to do it. I couldn't go grubbing along on just enough to keep me. I wanted to give her things.
Oh, your mother wanted you to give up architecture.
No, I'm lying. I made the switch strictly on my own. Mother hates what I'm doing.
I'd like to meet your mother.
Will you come out to the farm with me next Sunday?
I can't. I have a friend coming all the way from France.
A man?
Uh-huh.
I hope he's 90 with a beard 7 feet long.
He's 45, tall, and rather grand like you. Have you ever heard of him, Ralph Poole?
Ralph Poole? Are you kidding? Well, he's no more Frenchman than I am.
I didn't say he was.
Ralph Poole was born a couple of miles from my mother's farm.
I knew he used to live in Chicago.
People are Dutch. His father lived in High Prairie until a year ago when he died of a stroke. Why, my mother lived at the Poole house when she taught school.
Did she?
And if you want to know something else, mother's responsible for Ralph being an artist today.
Oh, I'll be grateful to your mother all my life.
Dirk, you're Selena's Dirk. Do you remember me at all?
Oh, sure. Even High Prairie knows that Ralph Poole is a famous sculptor.
Oh, that. I remember the afternoon you were born. How old were you when I went away?
Just a kid.
You look more like Selena now. How is she?
Oh, Mother's fine.
Well, I remember you better now, Ralph, hearing your voice.
That hasn't changed.
Oh, those wonderful winter evenings. When Selena rocked you in a cradle, teaching me at the same time. You never know how much I owe her. Actually, Selena's one of my reasons for being here.
I'm the other. Don't forget that.
Oh, you're... Selena was my first love.
I'll take second place, willingly.
You wonder why I'm as excited as a kid? Why, it's been over 20 years. Dirk, you lucky devil. You're her son. You're lucky too, Rolf. Dallas is... And let me drive you both out to see Mother. Why, this is exactly how Selina wanted to change the farm. The house painted white, shutters green, wide porches, beautiful flower garden. The barn painted, too. Just the way she dreamed it. The barn grew. I designed it years ago.
Dirk used to be an architect.
Tried to find you in Paris during the war.
I served in the French army.
Say, where's my Selina? Let's go find her.
She'll be in the asparagus plantation, most likely.
Asparagus? Sure. Selina always said asparagus would make her farm pay. Mother, you've got company.
I'm coming.
Don't tell her who. Let's see if she knows me.
Your mother is that little thing?
Yeah, she doesn't dress up the garden.
Oh, I want to paint her just this way, in those old clothes.
Certainly, brought yet. How lovely.
Look at me, so messy.
Hello, Selina.
Why? Why, it's you. Oh, my love.
And you've got all the famous men of Europe to think of it. You've seen the whole world, Ralph.
Well, not quite yet, but I mean to. I'll see the rest of Dallas.
Dallas? You and...
She's like you. So much like you.
My dear girl. Oh, yes, she's lovely. I'm happy for you both. There's another woman in Ralph's life. Has been for years. But I don't mind sharing him with you, Selina.
Oh, say, we ought to have a drink or something to celebrate. I want to add my congratulations, Ralph. I don't have to tell you, there's no one like Dallas.
It would give me such pleasure if you two would be married here.
It would feel right, Dallas. Many, many years ago, Selina made this my home.
She's just made it my home, too, darling.
Mother, may I come in?
Oh, yes, come in. Come in, Dirk. Is anything wrong, dear?
No. I just can't fall asleep. Wanted to talk.
What about?
Oh, everything. Anything. Me, I guess.
Come over and sit on the bed.
I haven't seen your hair in braids, Mother, in a long time.
When you were very little, you'd crawl on the bed and wake me up by pulling my braids. Remember?
Yeah, I've got a long ways away from being your son. Losing touch with you. Somehow I lost myself. That's what Dallas saw right off. I didn't know. Didn't see what she meant.
Oh, I know how terribly hurt you are. If I could only say something. Help.
There's nothing to say. I never really had a chance. She knew him first. But she's the only girl I've ever loved. Yeah, I know that. That's changing, Mother. I'll be changed for the rest of my life.
Then for the first time, I believe you know what it is to love. Because love does change everyone so big.
You haven't called me so big in a long time.
How big is my son? How big is my boy?
Not big enough.
No, my darling, you're big enough to grow. I believe that with all my heart.
You're not worth it. Not worthy of your belief.
I know the good inside you, my son. It's not so terrible to make a mistake.
Years of my life lost.
You just had to find out. Long ago, August Hempel said, I couldn't make mistakes for you. He was right.
Mother, if you'd believe in me again... I don't think I'd be afraid to try. People will laugh at me. But if you believe in me, I'd go back to architecture after all these years.
I've been waiting to hear this. I knew it would come. And it hasn't been such a long time to wait so big.
People have been very patient for a long time, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.